Hello, and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Courtney Behan, a senior editor with the Journal of Accountancy. Today's podcast features Kevin Ginger, CPA, a managing partner at Bolt Carlisle & Smith in Salem, Oregon. This summer, Kevin gave a very popular talk at our Engage conference called Three Ways to Work Less and Accomplish More, Anti-Time Management. A couple of weeks ago, he shared some of the highlights of his talk with us. But first, please listen to this message from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
So, Kevin, you called your talk Anti-Time Management. Can you tell me why you chose that for your title?
Well, first of all, I was looking to, you know, grab some attention, hopefully. And I guess that part worked because, like I said, there was standing room only. It was a little bit scary to see all the people piling in. I haven't ever spoke to an audience of that size. And especially with kind of my own stuff that I've put together. But it's something I've been interested in a long time. And really, I guess anti-time management is looking at the fact that I think a lot of time management programs want us to do more and more and more in the same amount of time or in less time. And I think right now, especially as we see all the technology advancements that are coming, we're never going to beat the computers. So the more automation that comes into our industry, the more that I think kind of time management or being more productive in the same amount of time is not really going to be the thing that's going to help us. What we need to do is figure out where we really provide value and to move our time to spend over there. So in the talk, we talked a lot about priorities. We talked about it on a really broad sense as far as time priorities with, you know, personal life and with work life and other things and balancing those together. But if we look at just the workday, I think we really need to look at the variety of activities and the value that we can bring. And we need to start prioritizing the value of the things that we can't automate, like relationships and the communication that we have with clients and the thinking that we do with the expertise that we have.
So you talk about prioritizing in your talk. What are some ways that CBAs can prioritize better or more?
With priorities, the first thing really is to take a little time to think about your priorities. And like I said before, it's really a matter of looking at it more broadly. So where are we kind of in our stage of life? If we're maybe early in our careers might be one of our top priorities. And maybe as we have a family or other relationships that we want to prioritize, then, you know, those are going to maybe take a little bit more of our time. And so figuring out how to plan ahead to put the right priorities in place. And then there's some strategies that we can use kind of to maybe make the time work so that we can pay the right attention to the right priorities. And the biggest thing is just spending a little time, maybe it's just 10 to 15 minutes each day, to think about what the number one, two things that are important for that day. And depending on the day, it could be work things or it could be personal things. And making sure that we have time blocked out to spend on those priorities so that we pay attention to those first. If we don't take care of the big priorities first, they get crowded out and they just get pushed off to another day. And often that leaves us feeling less fulfilled with what we've accomplished.
So one of the things that can keep us from being less productive at work is what you call the productivity killers. Can you name some of these?
Yeah. Career Builder does a survey on this each year. And, you know, they come up with a lot of the same things on their list. And sometimes they change order. Some of those things are email is one that comes up, and coworkers, There's social media and, you know, other internet activities that can often come up. In our session at Engage, one of the things that was most popular among the attendees was distractions of coworkers. There's a couple strategies I think that you can take here. And the really the first one is just communication and respect. We have to be able to tell, you know, each other, kind of set some boundaries. When's a good time to work with other people, you know, to maybe be interrupted? And when is a time when I really need to focus on my own work? One of the things in our profession is, you know, we need some uninterrupted time to concentrate to do a good job. Some of the work we do might be a little less brain intensive, but a lot of it, you know, if we're doing research and we're trying to think through some options for a client, we're going to need a little bit of time to do that well. And when we get interrupted, trying to get our brain kind of back on track, even if it doesn't seem like it takes a long time, the studies that they've done on what actually is happening inside our heads show that it does take quite a while to get back on track. So the second thing is really something that we've done in our firm that I think a lot of firms could benefit from, and our managers really like it. And that is, we actually block out what we call focus time during tax season. And this is time where we give everyone permission, you know, to turn off their phones and their email and everything else. And we actually ask people not to contact each other. And we do an hour and a half block. And I think we're doing that three times a year or three times a week now. And so it just gives everyone permission to really focus on something. And so we try to encourage people to, you know, plan ahead and find something that needs that focused attention and spend some time during that. And so that's been, like I said, really popular with the managers, just so they know that they have some of that time each day. And we don't have to worry about, you know, coming in early or staying late or working on Sunday or sometime when there's less people around.
Thank you. So let's talk about email a little bit, because email can be a huge interruption. Do you have any suggestions for handling email at work to make yourself more productive?
So for me, I've taken a number of kind of classes over the years just because it's always been one of those things that I feel like there's a better way to do it. And what I've kind of adopted that's taken a while, but it works really well now, is that zero inbox philosophy. And so I use just a few folders, one that's designed, you know, for something that needs to be worked on, one that is for responses that need to be returned, another one that I kind of filter out is just a lot of the, you know, solicitations and research notices and classes and things that you don't really have to look at every day. And so, you know, I set up some rules in the email box that pushes that into a different folder. And then also with CC emails. So that helps to just lower the inbox number down, so it feels a little more manageable. And I think most people can relate to the fact that they go into their email to look for something specific and then find that they're distracted by some stuff that they forgot that they needed to be attending to. And, you know, pretty soon they forget what they were going in there to do in the first place. So segregating those emails into those folders and then maybe scheduling specific times during the day to say, I'm going to focus on those responses and, you know, work hard to get those pieces done. And then the action type items probably need a little more block of time to take and, you know, figure out what needs to be done. It's a bigger project. And then, you know, you can, once you get used to it, you can fairly quickly sort the emails really in just 10 or 15 minutes into those folders. And then I do try to close the email application as often as I can, so you don't tempted to be distracted. And then I a long time ago, after a class that I took, turned off the notifications so that it's not popping up or beeping or buzzing. And I've done that on my phone as well, just so that you have more control over when you answer those emails.
And so what are some things you do to help balance work and family time?
I kind of, think about Ben Franklin's quote, lost time is never found again. So some of those opportunities might seem little, but, when you show up to lunch or some special event at school, an assembly or something, even though maybe they don't say anything right away, it usually comes back at some point in some little paper they've written or something where they notice. So I think it's important to take that time. I have an eighth grader now, so I'm kind of looking at the fact that next year's high school, and then, he may go off to college, and, that might be a further distance away. And so there's some feeling that time is potentially short. And so I want to be, cognizant of that. So I think being aware, of, again, your priorities and how you can utilize your time to take advantage of that. The other thing that I did a couple tax seasons ago is, you just kind of set some of your own rules for yourself. So I decided that I was going to go home, most all days at 5 or 5:30, so that, we could usually have dinner together. That was one of the things that was important to our family. And it takes a little bit of time to change those sorts of habits. It's easy to, kind of just keep working when there's lots to do. But just like when you're getting ready to go on vacation, if you have a deadline, you're usually better able to focus on getting those important things done that have to get done. I think it helps us, just mentally prepare for, prioritizing, even if we're not doing it explicitly. We know that there's certain things that are most important, and we're going to work on those first because we've set this kind of deadline for ourselves. And then once you get into the habit of it, it's actually becomes a little easier to make it happen on a regular basis.
Now, one thing you mentioned in your talk is knowing how you function best. Why is it important for CPAs to know how well they function, or how they function, I suppose, in order to be more productive?
Yeah, I think because we're all individuals, it's really important to remember that, we learn differently and we communicate differently. And the real, eye-opener in our firm for us was when Boomer Consulting, we were working with them on, strategic planning, and they brought in a tool called the Colby A assessment. And, there's strength finders, and there's the Enneagram is a new one that I've been reading about, and there's the Myers-Briggs. So there's other similar types of things. The Colby is a little different because it looks at strengths, and it also looks at how people communicate. And so, and then it also kind of maps out like where you would start on, a decision-making process, for example. And one thing that really did help us understand is maybe why certain people start with a lot of detail, a lot of background, a lot of history on something before maybe they get to, the question or, the decision point that they're trying to make. And other people may start kind of with the decision and not provide as much detail. And once we learn, about each other, where they kind of start on that scale and maybe what sort of level of information they need to make decisions, then it helps us, think about how to approach that communication with them and makes it a little more efficient. I'll just tell, a little story where this started to, kind of resonate. And for me, it was actually outside of work. My wife and I were looking for a new dishwasher, and I didn't really have a whole lot of time to research before we went to look at it. And in the Colby, my fact finder, my red line, is fairly high, which means I am, you know, more apt to kind of look at past situations and apply them to the future and want a fair amount of detail to make a decision. And after being in the store for, it was probably 20 or 30 minutes, my wife finally asked me, she's like, what are you doing? What can you just make a decision? You know, do you want this one or that one? You know, we were kind of looking at two different models. And you know, for her, she had gotten the information she needed. She was ready to move on. And I was still debating in my head, mostly because I didn't have a whole lot of background information, you know, to go on. So I was trying to fill in that fact finder area without really having the right information to make the decision. And in our company, there's a lot of people that are high fact finders, and that makes sense because in accounting, we deal with a lot of detail information. And so it's helpful to know that we can get stuck in that analysis paralysis type situation where we're continually looking for more information, maybe even if it isn't really necessary to move forward.
So one thing you mentioned in your talk is creating new habits. I think you said try to create one new habit every year. So what's a good way to do this? Is there a specific system or method that you use?
Is there some habits that are harder to adopt than others? And probably for almost all of us, if we've ever tried to, you know, lose weight or change our diet, you know, some of those things can be really difficult. And it's easy, you know, even after 2 or 3 weeks to fall back into old habits. So when we look at kind of establishing new habits, I think there's a couple strategies. One thing is if we can kind of focus on creating new habits and creating kind of routines around those, then those can sometimes maybe crowd out the habits we're trying to change. So it's similar to putting that time frame on your workday. If you say I'm going to go home at 5:30 every day and you get into the habit of that, then you're less likely to just, you know, keep working until you get to some, you know, random point of feeling like you're good to go, even though, you know, there's just as much work to do as there was an hour ago. The other thing is if you can take a habit that's already established. So for me, example was coffee was a pretty normal habit. And I was trying to do some, you know, better work on health. And one of the things was to drink more water. And so I just kind of made a rule that before I had a cup of coffee, I was going to drink, you know, a glass of water. And that was usually in the morning. But as we get into tax season and the days get longer, sometimes I'll use that same rule throughout the day to make sure I'm not, you know, overdoing the coffee. And if you can associate a new habit with a habit that's already really well established, sometimes that can help speed up that process of putting the new habit in place. So that's a little trick that I read about that seemed to work well for me.
So can you recommend some software or apps that would help CPAs with their work-life balance or their productivity?
When we go into like our focus time, I found a really great app called Brain.fm. And it's computer-generated music. That it's not really music actually, but it sounds like music. And so it's designed to kind of help our brain settle into a focused state. And they actually make different versions of this. So they have one for relaxing and one for sleeping. I mostly use the focus one, but I've tried the meditation, music, and some of the others as well. And one of the other apps I like for meditation is called Insight Timer. And one of the neat things about that is probably a lot of CPAs and accountants like tracking things. And this one actually tracks all your statistics in there, tell you how long you've done it and how many days in a row and your longest streak. And so that can kind of maybe help bring a little bit of a game to it that you can set goals and work to do. One of the great things about using an app like that, I like the guided meditations just because it's a hard thing to do. But I think it's really helpful to settle our minds, because especially when we're really busy and we have those deadlines, we have so much in our head that it's difficult to be productive, because as we're working on things, we're thinking of all the other things that are going on. And so having just some time to kind of settle your brain, even before you launch into one of those projects, can sometimes help get us into the right, the right flow to maybe not have those little interruptions popping up.
How did you get into meditation?
It's something I've read about that, people would recommend, but we use a business coach in our company, and he was one that really recommended trying that. And it's a great way to help kind of transition, I guess, from the different parts of our lives. So like I said, I'm in the stage of life where we have two kids that are grade school and middle school, so they have a lot of activities. And so the day gets pretty busy, and you can find yourself getting up at whatever, 5 a.m. and not really stopping until quite late in the evening after everyone's back in the house and settled in. So taking even just a few minutes to kind of settle, like I said, settle your brain and try to just stop doing things. And that can be a really helpful way to just transition between those different modes of life.
So you're a tax guy. Do you have any advice for tax season, for handling busy season?
Yeah. In our firm, we always try to come up with some different ideas. And some of the things that we've done over the years that I think have worked really well, one is we bring in lunch once a week. So it gives everyone an opportunity to kind of sit down and maybe visit and, relax. And you don't have to worry about where you're going to eat that day or what you're going to eat. And so that's a nice time, like I said, just to take a break, but also maybe it helps just because you don't have to, figure out what you're doing for lunch and all that stuff. Another thing that I started, I read a book called Rest last fall, and it's talked a lot about the relationship, I guess, between not just sleeping, but actual taking breaks from work. And so one of the ways that people, that some historical figures that they studied took breaks was walking. And our office is located almost literally across the street from this huge park in our city, like one of the biggest parks, not the biggest, but we live in a nice area, I guess. And so the other thing the book talked a lot about was that just the being in nature, being able to see, green space, is also really helpful for thinking. So it rains a lot in Oregon, especially during tax season. So depending on how bad the weather was, I would usually try to take, even if it's just 15 minutes, but a short walk either over to the park or maybe a small little loop around the park. And that kind of helps, wake you up a little bit, from after lunch, but also just gives your mind a break. I think we have to give our minds a break when we're working longer hours and we're working, on more, I guess, heavy concentration type things. And tax season can be kind of hectic in the, meetings and switching between things a lot. So that was a great one. And I know in some of our offices that small groups will walk together too sometimes, to take little short breaks.
So that was very helpful advice. Kevin, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Courtney. I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit more about what we had talked about at Engage and hopefully add a little more context to some of the questions that we didn't get a chance to answer at the session.
That was Kevin Ginger, CPA, and this has been Courtney Vian for the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.